7:38 here in the Big 93.7 Morning Mets. Mike Zwiefel in here this morning. Time now to head out to FHN. It's time now for our Dial a Doc program this morning. Please be joined here on this Tuesday, here in the month of May. FHN Stroke Program Coordinator Tracy Love is back with us here this morning. Tracy, good morning, and hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. Thanks for coming aboard.
Good morning. Yes, thank you.
Now, it was a little bit wet this weekend, but plenty of time for folks to maybe sit inside and maybe do a little research here, because we're talking May, Stroke Awareness Month, and we hear a lot about strokes and stroke prevention in the media nowadays. Define what a stroke actually is for our listeners.
Sure. So there's actually two different types of strokes. One stroke is what we call a hemorrhagic stroke, and what that really is where the blood vessels in the brain have a rupture. So for whatever reason, if there's a pouching or a weakness in the vessel, it actually opens up, ruptures, and bleeds into the brain. This is one of the least common types. Usually about 10 to 13% of all strokes are the hemorrhagic type, but that's one type. And then the most common, and the one we talk about more, is the type of stroke called an ischemic stroke. And this is where a person has a blood clot develop or break off and go to a vessel in the brain, and it sticks. And when this blood clot sticks, there's no blood flow downstream of it. So any tissue, any brain cells downstream of this clot is not getting any blood or oxygen, and the tissue starts to die, and that's what causes the stroke.
Good news, however, stroke is now the fifth leading cause of death in the U.S. rather than the fourth. What's contributed to the drop in strokes?
I think it's really come around in probably the past 5 years especially, that there's so many education pushes and campaigns out there, both regionally in our community and also nationwide, that I think we're really trying to get the message out to people what a stroke is, and to not wait at home with those symptoms, to make sure that you get to a hospital as fast as you can. We also have a lot of new treatments available that we didn't have 15 years ago, that now we're able to, try to treat these stroke patients more readily and with a few more options than we used to have, although still time is of the essence when we're talking about stroke.
Tracy Love with us here, FHN Stroke Program Coordinator, talking about Stroke Awareness Month here for the month of May. We talked a little bit about strokes in terms of what they are. What are some of the symptoms of a stroke that a person may have, whether noticing in themselves or someone else?
So the symptoms of a stroke are going to be very sudden. I think that's the thing that I really hope everybody remembers. It's not something that comes on slowly. It's not, I've been weak in my body for over a few days, or I've had a headache coming on for several hours. It's going to be very, very sudden. It's 1 minute you're perfectly fine, and the next minute you're not. Something has happened. And typically it's going to be any sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, especially if it's on one side of the body. Typically a stroke, it's not both sides of the body. It's typically going to be one side of the body. Any sudden confusion, trouble speaking or understanding. You may be sitting there talking to a friend, and all of a sudden they look like they're confused. They're not understanding what you're trying to tell them. It can be any sudden trouble walking, dizziness, loss of balance or coordination, any sudden severe headache with no known cause. So this isn't like a migraine. This is going to be some people say it's a thunderclap. It's the worst headache they've ever had, and it comes on very, very quickly and suddenly. And it can also be any sudden trouble with their vision, any trouble seeing in one or both eyes, many times one eye, where they may have difficulty all of a sudden with blurred vision, or they may lose their sight completely in an eye.
There's an acronym to remind people of how to do a quick check when they think someone might be having a stroke. Remind our listeners what that is.
So we have a new one out there. We always used to tell people for several years now to use FAST, F-A-S-T, but really they've upgraded that now to using the term BFAST. So I want everybody to remember BFAST. B stands for balance. Again, does that person have any sudden loss of balance or coordination, not being able to walk in a straight line or walk normally? E is for eyes. So are they experiencing any double vision, or are they unable to see out of one eye or having blurred vision? And then F is for face. Does one side of the face have a facial droop? I mean, so you have the person look at you and smile. Can you see more teeth on one side than the other? That would be potentially showing a facial droop. Have them put their arms out in front of them. Is one arm not able to be raised at all, or does it drop or drift to the side? And speech, do they sound like they have slurred speech? A lot of times this is, does somebody sound sometimes like they're drunk, that they just can't get their words out, or it's very slurred and hard to understand them? And T is for time. So again, like I said earlier, it's all about time when we're dealing with our brains, because for every minute that the brain is not getting oxygen, about 2 million brain cells die. So it's really about calling 911 and getting to the hospital immediately if you have any of those BFAS signs. Don't wait at home for your daughter to pick you up, or go lay down and take a nap and think, I'll be better soon. Those symptoms start. If you have anything positive on BFAS, then you need to call 911 and get to a hospital right away.
And is that kind of the importance of getting to the ER to try to limit the brain loss there then, Tracy?
Absolutely. The whole goal for us in the emergency departments are to make sure that we're getting that treatment as readily as we can so that, right, we can stop that damage.
All right. So what causes strokes, and what can people do to prevent them?
So there's some risk factors that leave people at more predisposed to having a stroke. Some things we can't change, such as our age or our heredity, but there are some things that we can change, such as if we have high blood pressure or high cholesterol. Knowing your numbers, knowing if your blood pressure is high, talking with your doctor, making sure if you're not sure, go in and get that checked at least yearly, if not more often. And if your numbers do start to creep up there and you're starting to get into the high blood pressure range, working with your providers to get on proper medications to bring the pressure down to a normal range. Because high blood pressure, you know, we do call it the silent killer. It is probably one of the most largest factors of having a stroke. High cholesterol can be as well. So again, knowing if your numbers are high, working with your providers again to make sure you get on the proper medications to bring it down. Diabetes can leave us at higher risk as well. So again, make sure your blood sugars are where your doctor has asked you to have them at, and making sure that you're in good control, because diabetes many times will combine with things like high cholesterol and high blood pressure and put somebody at higher risk. And one more big risk factor is atrial fibrillation. So if anybody's ever been diagnosed with atrial fibrillation, which is where like the top two chambers of the heart quiver, they don't beat appropriately, because of that beating not being quite right, it can sometimes build up a blood clot in there that can break off and cause a stroke. So if somebody has AFib, it's, again, working with your doctors and providers, make sure you're on the proper medicines to prevent that from occurring.
People that maybe know someone, a loved one that's gone through strokes, so maybe they hasn't been a stroke, or maybe it has been. What's a TIA, and how do these differ?
So a TIA is a little bit different than a stroke, but initially you may not know the difference. So a TIA is called a transient ischemic attack. And many times you'll hear people in the community say, oh, I've had a mini stroke, or my doctor told me I had a mini stroke in the past. Well, that's usually what they mean, is this TIA, this transient ischemic attack. And a person who's having a mini stroke or TIA is going to have all the symptoms of a stroke. So they could have the balance problem, the blurred vision, the weakness in the arms or legs. They'll have all the full-blown symptoms of a stroke, but for whatever reason, that blood clot that was sticking there goes away, and the blood flow returns, and the symptoms go away. A lot of times, symptoms are going to go away within 30 to 60 minutes, although it can last up to 24 hours, but we're finding more and more that usually within a half hour to an hour, a lot of times they've called 911, and by the time 911's getting to the house, the symptoms are getting better. But it's still really important for somebody to understand that this is a warning sign to you, because if you've had the symptoms and the symptoms go away, that's good, but you could have the symptoms come back again and they won't go away. So it's a warning sign. If you've ever had a TIA or a mini stroke, it's getting to the hospital right away, having us give you the diagnosis, and then work with your providers and the doctors to get on the right regimens to prevent a full-blown stroke from ever happening.
Again, Tracy Love with us here, FHN Stroke Program Coordinator here on Dial-A-Doc. Tracy, the ER at FHN, they've got some sophisticated equipment to help victims of strokes. Tell us about this equipment.
So actually here at our hospital, we've had a robot here since about 2013. So we've had it for about 6 years now, where we have a robot that is housed in our emergency room. And when a patient comes in having a stroke, we wheel that into the room, And we have a doctor on the other end. So we have doctors from across the country who are able to come in, neurologists, specialized stroke doctors, who are able to come in and talk with our patients. They work with our emergency doctors and nurses and work and coordinate with the patient to try to help give us the, you know, fastest treatment possibilities and to give us the diagnosis for our patients so that we all work together very collaboratively as a team to try to do, you know, give the best care that we can to our patients. And this has been very, very positive. It's worked really well, and we've really been able to really elevate our practice with that.
FHM Memorial Hospital also receives several designations as a stroke-ready hospital, including one late last year. That's quite an achievement. Tell us about that, Tracy.
Yes. So last year we were awarded the Gold Plus Award through the American Heart Association Get With The Guidelines program. This is a program that we've been involved with for many, many years now, where we look at our information, we look at our patients and our data, and it shows that we are doing appropriate quality measures to take care of our stroke patients here at the hospital. So to achieve the Gold Plus Award, you first have to complete 8 measures at 85% or higher compliance that are stroke quality of care measures. And then to get the plus, you also have to have another 5 that you also are at least performing at 75% or higher. And to achieve both of those, then you get the Gold Plus Award. And what that really shows is that we're really giving quality, cutting-edge care to our community here in the area.
Well, very neat, and again, a very good and very, a big reward, obviously, on you guys' part. A word for you guys. Tracy, of course, with a lot of great information here today, talking about stroke awareness. How can someone get in touch with you to maybe speak to an organization about stroke prevention or treatment, or just get more information maybe in general to maybe get prepared for?
Absolutely. So, yes, I love to go out and talk with groups. You know, anytime I can get information out there about how to prevent a stroke is always a good thing for our community. So, yes, if anybody wants to get a hold of me, you can always call the hospital and ask for Tracy Love, Stroke Coordinator, or you can also go to FHN's website, to www.fhn.org, and get the message out.
Tracy, just give us a brief overview. I mean, what types of groups have you talked to in the past?
So I have talked to different organizations, Rotary Clubs, and some nursing organizations as well. So, you know, anybody who would like to have information, I'm always willing to go out and have a talk with everyone.
All right. Very good. Tracy, thanks for coming aboard and joining us here this morning. Have a great rest of your month of May, and we'll look forward to catching up with you in a couple weeks.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right, she's Tracy Love, FHN Stroke Program Coordinator, joining us here on this Tuesday edition of Dial-A-Doc, right here on the Big FM 93.7 and The Morning Mass.